Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, get ready to indulge your legal curiosity with a unique blend of knowledge and entertainment on Legal Candy with attorney Candace Colucci. Each week, she unwraps the sweet secrets of the legal world, covering a wide range of topics from property insurance claims and personal injury to national and Florida law hot topics. Guests will include industry whistleblowers, industry experts, and sweet surprises. Get ready for a flavorful journey through the legal landscape. And now, let's dive in with Candace.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Legal Candy. I'm your host, attorney Candace Colucci, and we have a wild show in store for you today. We're diving into the case we've dubbed Did He Do It or Did He Not? I know everybody is talking about Diddy. I was just listening to this on the way in.
It's a lyrical genius.
Right? What's so crazy is This Is Satisfy You is the name of the song. Okay? If you guys remember, it was Diddy and R. Kelly. So to think where we're at now. It's got a lot of aspects on it that are mind-blowing and very interesting and tantalizing, and people's, I think, are all waking up going, what is happening? What is taking place and what has been happening that we never knew about? Like, all the times that we have talked about tabloids and the news, and Mary Catherine is here in the studio. Mary Catherine, as most of you guys know, is a fantastic paralegal in our office, amazing writer and content developer. And Mary Catherine used to work with Perez Hilton.
Perez Hilton. Many years.
If you guys remember Perez Hilton, was like the go-to for celebrity news. He also was not afraid of saying things that other people were really afraid of putting out there. And so even in the Perez Hilton days, we didn't hear this amount of information that now is really kind of coming out. And to the testament that's interesting is how long they've kept it under wraps, that we really didn't know the extent of what's happening in Hollywood. And I think a lot of it comes down to a pure abuse of power. That's what I think that we're seeing a lot now is what happens when people get such an amount of fame, fortune, and power. It becomes, I believe, this drug that is you want more and more of it. But then it also becomes very manipulative, abusive, and then you don't know where the rules are at and where the lines are at, because everything gets blurred, right? Because you're paying everybody. You're paying off the police departments. You're paying off, the government. You now can control everything. You can control whose music plays, whose films get shown. And so with that, unfortunately, if you don't have your morals in place, which is what we're finding out, a lot of people don't, it can lead to an abuse of that position, which is what we're seeing with the Me Too movement, what we're seeing now with all these allegations, sexual assault allegations. So stay tuned, because we are going to get into what's happening with, depends on when you learned about Diddy, depends on how you call him. Do you call him Puff Daddy? Do you call him P. Diddy? Is his name Diddy? Are you calling him a criminal? What are these names that you're kind of referring to him? But we're talking about P. Diddy, and we're also going to talk about his head camp counselor at Puffy's Flavor Camp.
That's what I'd like to call him.
Puffy's Flavor Camp. So we'll be unpacking all the juicy details of this case, including the most recent developments, and dive into potential charges under the RICO Act. So we are going to give you the legal analysis. We're going to talk about some of those facts, but talk about what they truly actually mean and where we're at. And then this is obviously breaking news, kind of with what's taking place with the raid that just happened on P. Diddy's home. And so we'll get into exactly what we know so far, and then continue to keep you guys kind of abreast on what it looks like as it kind of unravels. But this is reading I'll say it like 50 Cent just said in one of his posts. He's like, this is turning into a movie, because that is what it is sounding like now. I mean, everybody's involved. You got a cast of players of, you've got Tupac, Biggie, Usher, Cat Williams, Kevin Hart, Jerry Maguire's Cuba Gooding Jr. Show me the money. Mary Catherine put it in the script. Show me the money. Show me the money. And even my girl, J-Lo. She has made an appearance back into this. So J-Lo's in here. We just got a whole cast of characters. So I'll give you guys a legal disclaimer. The content provided in Legal Candy is for general information purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice. It does not create an attorney-client privilege. And so if you have any questions, please reach out to our law firm at 727-733-9438. That's Colucci Law Group. If you have any legal issues or questions, reach out to us. If we can't help you, we'll point you in the right direction of who can. All the views expressed on the shows of the host or the guests is not necessarily represent Legal Candy or its affiliates. And then I will let you know that everything, the information that we're talking about today is in public record. It may not be 100% accurate, so please rip it up, research it yourself. These allegations that are against Puff Daddy and everybody else, they are allegations. It has been alleged. He has not been convicted of any of these crimes that we'll be talking about right now. We're talking about a full investigation. So I always want to remind people, as an attorney, you are innocent until proven guilty. And some people forget that concept because the evidence starts to become so overwhelming. But I'll tell you, what ends up happening when allegations like this come out, if I was an attorney representing P. Diddy, it's very common that we tell our clients, do not speak about the matters. Do not come forward. Do not say anything. And that's because anything you say definitely is going to be used against you, but our job is to protect you in the best light that we can, which means we now need to speak for you, and you should not be speaking on anything, whether you're, if you want to pronounce you're innocent or any of those things, it's better to you not say anything. So right now, a lot of times when you get these allegations out there so quickly, there isn't usually a rebuttal so fast from the person who's being charged because their attorneys have told them it's not appropriate for you to say anything right now. It will all work itself out and we will go through the legal proceedings. So that being said, our last disclaimer that we will say is that today we are going to be talking about sensitive topics, and I don't want to make light of the fact that we will be talking about allegations of sexual assault, murder, drug-related activities, human trafficking, and child and other disturbing content related to the ongoing cases involving P. Diddy. And so those are definitely could potentially invoke emotional reactions, including anxiety, trauma, and distress. So it is important to prioritize your mental and emotional well-being while listening. If you feel overwhelmed, please discontinue listening. Understand that we will be talking about those very sensitive aspects. And I know that this is always, it always comes with that double-edged sword of like, we're getting these crazy allegations, but we also potentially have victims that are involved here. So our heart goes out to anybody who has been a victim of sexual assault, who has been trafficked, any of those things that have taken place that have been so traumatic for people over their lifetime. So our hearts go out to those. And now we will dive into what is happening with Diddy. With Diddy in this entire madness that's taking place. So what we know so far, what has triggered all this and what everyone's talking about right now is two big things that took place. So we knew that a couple of months ago, towards the end of last year, we did know how it all started was that we had several lawsuits that took place in New York City right before the statute of limitations. We talked about this before. There was a statute of limitations that was about to run for sexual assault and those things in New York City. So there was a lot of lawsuits that started to take place really quick. So Diddy's former girlfriend, Cassie, and she was, and loved her song when I was younger. That was a hit for me. And I wouldn't sing it right now because people would definitely turn off. You don't want to hear my voice sing it. So, I was a fan of hers, and she spent numerous years with Diddy, and she filed a lawsuit against Diddy, and she was alleging that she was raped, that she had been sexually assaulted, that she had been forced to take drugs, and her allegations were civil in nature. Now, we've talked before, and it's very important to understand the difference between criminal and civil. Criminal means the state or the federal government has brought those charges, and you can potentially go to jail. Civil means two people or a person in a company or two companies, the government's not involved, are suing each other, and what they're looking for in those instances is money. Show me the money. That is a civil lawsuit. So far, none of these have amounted to criminal charges yet. These are still all civil. That means these are people saying, this happened to me, and there's a defense to it, and we don't truly know exactly what's taken place, because none of these have technically gone to even a jury yet. With Cassie's lawsuit, I think it, when it was filed, he settled in, what, 24 hours? I was very
under.
Fast. Yeah, under 24 hours when the lawsuit was filed. And that's not incredibly uncommon. People do settle civil lawsuits all the time, and sometimes really soon. With how big of a character P. Diddy was and how salacious the allegations were that were in here, it would have been whether he thought he was guilty of it or not, it's also plays into people trying to settle for other reasons, like just because of the fact that he doesn't want all the negative press about it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he is admitting guilt. It's made very clear in their agreement that he's not admitting any guilt. He's just saying, because of all the circumstances, I would rather settle this and not continue going forward, which is what he did. So that really was kind of our spark, where the world started going, I know that people have talked about it over time. It's coming up every so often. But that was really a very, very out in the open eye opener for people that was like, wait a second. Okay. What is he doing? These allegations are pretty intense with what took place. Bless her heart with some of the stuff that she said that she had been a victim to that we hadn't heard about until now. And they had not been together for several years. So then after that, I think there's three other lawsuits. Correct. I mean, I could be a little off, but there's three other sexual assault lawsuits that have come up after that that are still pending. Those ones are still pending in civil court in New York. And those are, we've got a Jane Doe who has claimed that she was drugged and gang raped as a 17-year-old girl in 2003. Then we also have another anonymous plaintiff who says that P. Diddy and singer-songwriter Aaron Hill had raped her and a friend in 1990 and 1991. These are allegations. These are not things that they have been convicted of. They haven't even been charged criminally about them. These are what one person is saying against the other. So those other two lawsuits are still pending. So they're still going forward in the civil courts. So then all of a sudden what takes place just recently is we find out that P. Diddy's home is raided by Homeland Security. And we don't know the full extent of what all they were looking for, but supposedly has to do with ongoing sex trafficking investigations. And they have seized phones, computers, they came out with boxes. But at the same time, we get another civil lawsuit that gives us another eye-opening kind of... It reads like a book, 73 pages of a lawsuit from a producer that has just been working. He think he stopped working in 2003 for Diddy. He was producing on Diddy's new Love album.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Little Rod.
Little Rod. Little Rod. Jones is his name, so we'll call him Mr. Jones. That's what we saw in this whole entire lawsuit that we were reading. But so all this starts happening at the same time. They are raiding. Homeland Security comes in and they raid Diddy's mansion out in Los Angeles and his mansion out in Miami. So we're going to jump to a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk more about what happened during that raid and what are these allegations that include people like Cuba Gooding Jr.'s and in the fortunate allegations that there is a lot of homosexual sex that is taking place in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Get ready to elevate your nightlife experience at Club Prana. This five-story sensation in Ybor City is the talk of Tampa Bay. Each floor boasts a unique style and music format. They roll out the red carpet as their friendly staff pampers you with VIP treatment. Club Prana meets Tampa's nightlife standards with impeccable amenities. Live the luxe life every evening at Club Prana. For VIP reservations and bottle service, call or text 813-758-7755. Coastal Roofing, your trusted Florida roofing experts, puts you first. They excel in delivering exceptional roofing and general contracting services, proudly serving all counties. Their dedicated team guarantees not just your complete satisfaction, but an unforgettable experience. You also get a free inspection report and damage report. Rooted in integrity and powered by expertise, they consistently achieve the right results on schedule and within budget. For one contractor, great price, expert service, Coastal Roofing. 1-800-674-3675.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
That it happened outside.
Okay, welcome back. So let's talk about the Homeland Security raid. What does that technically mean from a legal perspective? So what takes place normally in a situation where Homeland Security gets involved is the fact that there is a belief that you may be committing crimes that the federal government has jurisdiction of. So there are certain crimes that the federal government has jurisdiction of and certain crimes that your state does. Most of the time, if the federal government's getting involved, it usually means you're doing something like trafficking. And trafficking is going to mean that you're moving people, drugs from one state to another. When you start crossing state lines and committing crimes in several different areas, the jurisdiction now goes to the federal government. The federal government goes, "Hey, we're going to control what's taking place here, and not keep it to where we have one state doing it, those charges there, and one state doing those charges there. We'll have the federal government who can take all the charges together and charge you at one time." So when a raid happens, it's going to be based on a warrant that they have asked a judge, and they have presented to a judge most of the time that they believe that they have enough evidence that they believe a crime is being committed or has been committed, and that they need to obtain this evidence from this exact location, these exact spots. So that's how they'll get a warrant granted to them that says, "Hey, you can cover these positions." Now, based on what we're getting so far, the information is going to be that I believe that the raid would have been based on the fact that there's allegations of children sex trafficking under the ages of 18. There are several allegations that there is a lot of video and photos that P. Diddy in these house parties. One of the things he was doing, he had hidden cameras everywhere, and he would be taking videos of these parties. No one throws a party like a Diddy party. That was like
the
what people
party.
Talked about.
Yeah.
Yes, white parties, like that is Diddy's thing, is throwing these parties. But it was not even the parties people knew about. It wasn't the big parties, like the white parties everybody knows about. Tons of people go to that. It was these underground parties that he was having. That only few people were really allowed to go to who were in the industry, who were potentially going to be in the industry. So they were doing all these underground things and having parties at their houses that were filled allegedly with drugs and alcohol and drugging people and an immense amount of sex is what the allegations are. And they have stated that he utilized these videos, which is not, it's not even, that part doesn't really surprise me that much. That he would utilize these videos to manipulate, intimidate, coerce people into behaving in a certain way, to sign certain deals, is what we're hearing, to not come forward. And so I would say that the government would be interested in potentially finding those videos. They're not so interested in seeing what celebrity was snorting cocaine, but they would be interested in seeing if those videos showed underage. That would be something specifically the government would be very interested in, because that would be their area, is if there's allegations of sex trafficking, that he's bringing these girls from other countries, that he's bringing them from different areas, and that A, they're being sex trafficked, B, they're potentially minors. So that would be something that's what I believe is going to be what would probably spark the Homeland Security giving them federal jurisdiction in order to come in. And so what they do is when they get that warrant, they come in. No one is supposed to know if there is a warrant granted besides the government. That doesn't mean that is always what happens. Depending on who they know, which we know that P. Diddy knows a lot of people, he may have been given a heads up. So we see, you can see that there's tons of people. They bring in the whole shebang. They bring in SWATs. They've got
helicopters.
Batteries. Bring everybody in. They're breaking down doors. And then, I mean, I it's not funny. It really isn't funny.
No.
But then you see Diddy on a plane. He's on his way. And so did we ever unravel where he was going or when he got stopped?
No, we're not really sure
where the flight plan was.
He did leave a comment yesterday when he was seen at an eatery.
Okay,
he did actually speak out for the first time, and I don't want to get this wrong. It's so glib, and he basically flashed, "Yo, what's up?" and flashed an L with his fingers, which he indicated represented love.
Oh, love.
And
oh,
he was out in an eatery with his daughters.
Yeah, yeah.
Having lunch.
That is, it is, I mean, that's I think comment. He wants so bad to make it look like he's not afraid of this. But as an attorney, I tell you, you should be afraid. Because if the federal government gets involved, okay, as an attorney who did criminal defense and did federal, I will tell you that if the federal government gets involved, everybody better take a deep breath, lawyer up, and get prepared. Because they don't like, federal government is not the state. They are not trying to prosecute every little teeny thing. They don't like to get involved. I always say they didn't like to get involved unless it was a sure thing. They want to know that it's going to go all the way in order for them to get involved. And that's why it takes so long in bringing their cases. That's why I think you would ask a question, which was very relevant, was the question was, why haven't they arrested Diddy already? That was your question. It's like, I remember talking, is that you had said, well, the federal government just came in and they did a raid. They had to have found something. I mean, you're going through his whole home. We're finding allegations that there was drugs, a lot of drugs that were taking place. I think you would be remiss to not believe that in the life that he's leading and the people he's surrounded by, that there, and he's having all these parties, that there would not be drugs inside of the home. So it would be remiss for me to say that wouldn't be something that probably exists. And that's just my opinion. I obviously don't have those facts. So your question was, is like, they just raided the whole thing. You think they would have found something and somebody would have been arrested. And that's because the federal government is not, they don't act quickly at all. Like, they're going to take their time. They're going to go through all of the evidence. They're going to start piecing everything together. They're going to figure out what they have. So when they come with those charges, they're going to have them all laid out and all ready. That is how they do. They don't shoot at the hip. Like, they're not the police department who pulls someone over, they arrest them for every single thing they've got on them, all the stuff. It's not like that at all. It's very more methodical, thought out, and these charges will be very sufficient if they come forward with them. So we know that they bring out a lot of stuff.
What triggered this raid, do you think? What was,
you know, we you don't, know,
besides
since we
Cassie,
don't have the warrant,
there's another case.
We don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but the fact that, you know, Mr. Jones filed this lawsuit, he could have easily have gone to the police department first. And so he could be working with the police. You have no idea who's all working with the police, who's already come forward with information. And that's truly what potentially could have been the evidence. So in order to get the warrant, you have to have articulatable evidence that you have a very high belief that there are evidence of a crime somewhere that you need to get to that place to get it. That's what has to happen. So a warrant can't just be general and basis to go, you know what, we think that he's committing a crime, we should go rip apart his house. No, you've got to know that there's evidence of a crime in there, and most of it's usually it comes from somebody admitting to you and telling you as the police department or the federal government, that they've been there, they've seen it, they know it's there. That's usually what needs to be there. It needs to be very, very specific in nature. So I really do think that it maybe stems for the allegations that there's underage sex trafficking taking place and that there is tons of hidden video that exist. So I think that's maybe my opinion would be that's probably what they're looking for, would be that. So while they do this raid, what you see is Diddy's on a plane out of here. And then his sons are still there. It's like, I'm like, where are you going, Diddy? You just going to leave your boys behind? I'm like, it seemed you saw his sons out there. I think one of them ended up in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. Didn't actually get arrested. But it's not, a lot of times the reason why they'll put them in handcuffs, they've got a warrant. They don't want anybody getting in the middle of what's taking place. And maybe one of them got a little mouthy or something. That could have been why they maybe put them in handcuffs temporarily. But they pull you out during the raid to go through everything. You cannot touch anything. They will rip apart anything they want to in order to go in and find everything. The fact that Diddy was on a plane makes me believe he probably knew it was coming. So it'll be interesting to see what they find, because if there was stuff, maybe it's been put away already. Maybe it's already been hidden. But it is very coincidental to me that while this raid's happening, he's on a plane going somewhere. But he does travel a lot from obviously what we're finding out, or we already knew. So maybe there is no coincidence there. But so let's just try to get into some of the nitty-gritty of this lawsuit. So from a legal perspective, let me explain to you what has taken place. Is that we've got Mr. Jones, who was, let's see when it was. So he was requested to join Diddy's camp and to help produce this new Love album that Diddy has coming out. I don't know if it has come out or not, but. And so the lawsuit is about 100 pages long. It was filed in the Southern District of New York by an attorney. And this attorney is the same attorney who also had some of the allegations and represented some of the victims against Tiny and T.I., which is another thing. I mean, I go back to the fact that what we're dealing with, to me, is abuse of your position, and I believe desensitization. That's what I think happens, too. When you have so much of so many things and everybody's around you going, yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah, I'm afraid. I'll do what you want. I want to be a hit singer. I want to be a superstar. I want to be a star. I'm going to do anything for it. The desperation that happens, I think, a lot of times results in you you wanting it so bad that literally they take advantage of it, and then you allow it for a certain amount of time because you're so afraid of not becoming successful, for potentially being harmed, because now we know there's allegations of him being violent also. So all of those things together, because every time I think about it, I'm going back through the list of all the celebrities we know, and I'm going, gosh, it's like so many of them are involved in some way, form or fashion, in some type of this, you know, horrific ring of sex, drugs, abuse, alcohol, and manipulation. And it's just, it really is truly heartbreaking, because all they want to do is make music, right? That's what they want to do.
In the lawsuit, Motown, Universal Music Group were also cited as defendants.
Yes.
In that lawsuit, which is huge.
Yes, it is.
I mean, these are huge companies.
It really, truly is. And I'll tell you where that comes from, is that Rodney Jones, so this is the Mr. Jones, he sues Sean Combs, that's P. Diddy, Justin Combs, that's his son. We got Cuba Gooding Jr. And then we have people who work for Diddy personally. Then we have Love Records, Motown, Universal Music Group, Combs Global Enterprises, John and Jane Doe's 1 through 10, and ABC Corporation's 1 through 10. And the reason why a lot of times you'll try to sue all of those people involved is because now you get to potentially open up things like commercial liability insurance. So these big companies are have coverage for certain types of acts that happen during the time that someone's maybe employed or a client of them, any of those things. So not only are you suing people individually, but now you're suing a company that if you get a judgment against them, you now can collect against the company, or you can collect against them personally, depending on how you've sued them. But also, as I was saying, is you're opening up an also insurance liability claim. So that is another point that a lot of people will do and why they potentially have chosen these people. So we know that it is a civil... It's a civil lawsuit. So we talked about it before. It's not criminal. It's civil. And it has several counts against all of these people. These are not criminal charges yet. We still don't have any criminal charges. This is just allegations that were taking place against these individual people, all based on Mr. Jones and what he believes has taken place. So through the lawsuit, and let me tell you, as an attorney, A complaint is supposed to have, this is what we call a complaint, a civil complaint. That's the beginning of the lawsuit. The person's, the one who's suing the other party, is going to file a complaint and go, these are my allegations, here are the facts, and here are the causes of actions that I believe that you're liable for in the civil lawsuit. And the thing is that it's supposed to be, it shouldn't necessarily need to be 100 pages long, but they included pictures. I believe allegations that didn't even need to be in here. It read like this Mr. Jones's life story is what it really read like, a book. And I honestly believe that there's some of the allegations that are in there have no need to be in here because they don't necessarily connect to any of the allegations, but are potentially in here because they wanted it to be salacious. They wanted everybody to see it. They wanted everybody to read it. I mean, it starts off the very third page of the lawsuit. At the beginning of a lawsuit, you should name who the parties are. Who are the parties? Who's the plaintiff? That's the person suing. And who's the defendants? Who are these people? You have to name who they are, a little bit about who they are. I mean, it has pictures. It's like, defendant is Sean Combs, is a rapper and a record executive popularly known by his stage names Puff Daddy, Puffy, P. Diddy, Diddy, Brother Love, or Love. Mr. Combs became famous in the 1990s with the record label Bad Boy Records. He rose to prominence in the music and entertainment industry over the decades and is referred to as a hip-hop mogul. Mr. Combs is domiciled in Beverly Hills, California. And then a picture of P. Diddy. There's no reason. We don't do that. When we file lawsuits to get people, we don't grab their pictures and say, this is who we're suing. When we sue insurance companies, we don't get their whole team and go, well, this is who's the president of it. And this is what my client looks like with her husband and their dog and their house. You don't put those pictures in here. So it was very much an intent to hopefully make sure that this goes viral, which it did. I'm not a huge fan of that concept of it, but that's why you're looking at something like this.
That's why there's so many photos.
Okay. So many photos.
So many.
So there's no need. During the discovery process after this lawsuit would be filed, that is when you would start producing those photos. But they didn't. They wanted so much to be in this. And remember, they're just allegations, which I always want to remind people is that he has not been charged criminally. And I go back to that again. And we're not taking an opinion one way or the other. But justice should always be fair on everybody's side. So to put all these photos in here and to make it seem so, so juicy because you want to make sure every tabloid gets it to me is... It shouldn't have been that. It should be about justice, right? It should be about him feeling like he was treated wrongly and following what the laws are and going after potentially a justice. Not to mention, I don't know where the criminal charges are. So I'd like to know if there's criminal complaints that have been filed yet. Because that's, to me, when you've been wronged like that, criminal is where it needs to be. Demanding money from somebody, like we've talked about this before, money's a whole different concept. But criminally, people should be held responsible if they're committing crimes. Absolutely. So,
shooting at Chalice Records, isn't that a criminal?
Yes. Yeah, so we will get into the shooting at Chalice Records, okay, which I think is going to be the biggest issue that P. Diddy's going to have fast. The fastest issue I think is going to have is the fact of him being implicated in a shooting. So we're taking another break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Coastal Roofing, your trusted Florida roofing experts, puts you first. They excel in delivering exceptional roofing and general contracting services, proudly serving all counties. Their dedicated team guarantees not just your complete satisfaction, but an unforgettable experience. You also get a free inspection report and damage report. Rooted in integrity and powered by expertise, they consistently achieve the right results on schedule and within budget. For one contractor, great price, expert service, Coastal Roofing. 1-800-674-3675. Get ready to elevate your nightlife experience at Club Prana. This five-story sensation in Ybor City is the talk of Tampa Bay. Each floor boasts a unique style and music format. They roll out the red carpet as their friendly staff pampers you with VIP treatment. Club Prana meets Tampa's nightlife standards with impeccable amenities. Live the luxe life every evening at Club Prana. For VIP reservations and bottle service, call or text 813-758-7755.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello, this is Mary Catherine, and we're back with Legal Candy. Just having a little bit of a technical glitch at the moment, and Candace will be back right with us, and we're going to go over, we're going to get into that shooting, and we're going to get into so much more.
I'm here. Okay, so let's talk about the shooting. So we're talking about the fact these are civil allegations. They are not criminal. So at this point in time, he has not been charged criminally with any of these things. Now, what it looks like from Mr. Jones's perspective of what kind of has taken place to him is that he believes that he was subjected to unwanted, and this is kind of how he explains it, unwanted assault on his anus and genitalias. Mm-hmm. That is really what he stands by, is that during his time working at P. Diddy and working with the producers at the camp and all of this stuff, since we learned about these writing camps, is that he believes that he was forced to endure sexual assault behaviors. He does not say anything actually. He does allege something with a girl, but he doesn't say anything actually penetrated or anything actually took place between him and P. Diddy or him and Cuba Gooding Jr., because those are the two males that he names in this, that he said made unwanted touches of him and approaches of him. He says P. Diddy put him into positions where he had to watch him shower naked, a couple of other things like that. He watched P. Diddy get naked because he was going to take a shower. And so he kind of goes through, the lawsuit goes through who he is. So we've got Mr. Jones, who's from the Chi-Town. He was born and raised there. And he, Iles was allegedly, was a child prodigy. I guess he was very talented with music. And so he was brought in to help produce some of the songs. And I guess he did that. And during his time there, he says he witnessed just horrific behavior. That's all he kind of sat there and watched. But I'll tell you that I think that one of the most kind of interesting things that we had learned about this that I think is going to be the biggest issue for Diddy is the underage girls seem to be connected a lot to if the rape charges ended up coming through and he gets charged with that, that's going to be a massive issue for him. Mm-hmm. And the underage girls, a lot of them were connected to what they've referred to as sex workers, that there's a bunch of sex workers and that Mr. Jones was forced a lot of times to have to go to strip clubs, one of them being Booby Trap, which, you know, Luke LaRoe was here, and when I worked with Luke LaRoe, we represented several strip clubs, and one of them was Booby Trap. We know the owners of that. They're great human beings. But what they're saying is that they went there and they recruited a lot of girls to come back and party at Diddy's, and that some of them were underage. And so that's an allegation that's in here. Now, those are just, those allegations are just literally him kind of going through the story, the lawyer who's writing on behalf of Mr. Jones, just kind of going through, going, here's all the things that I'm going to put out on the table. even though those things don't directly go to an allegations, I'm just going to put them all kind of here so everybody can really get a picture of what's taking place. That's why you're getting all this. It doesn't mean that they're factually true. It just means that he's putting them forward because that's their position. But of course, we don't have a counter for Diddy. So one of the things was a shooting that there was a shooting that took place September 12th in 2022, where they were at Chalice Recording Studios in Los Angeles, and that while they were there, that Mr. Combs and Justin Combs, that's Diddy's son, and somebody named G were in a heated conversation, and that during this process, they go into the bathroom, which is 2 feet away from Mr. Jones, and they continue arguing, and then gunshots ring out, and Mr. Jones says he heard multiple gunshots, and that Mr. Jones went into a state of shock and feared that he would be shot next. Why would he fear he was shot next? I'm not really sure. But he says he feared that he would be shot next. And so then a crowd gathers through the restroom, and they finally get the door finally opens, and they see P. Diddy, his son. They exit, and they see this guy G was lying on the floor in the fetal position, holding his stomach and bleeding out of his torso and leg and hip area. Mr. Jones says everybody stood there looking around, and that nobody seemed to help this guy G, and that he was the only one who ended up helping him, and that P. Diddy gave him instructions to inform the police that he had nothing to do with the shooting. He also forced Mr. Jones to lie to the police by telling them that G was shot standing outside the studio by a drive-by assailant. That is pivotal, because those facts were already in the media. They were already presented to the police department as the story that we're in, and there's pictures of the actual surrounding news stories that happened in 2022. They put them in this lawsuit. Is that the story was that a man had been shot outside of a party at the Hollywood Recording Studio. So that was the story.
It was during the day. Drive-by shooting, allegedly, in the middle of the afternoon.
Yep. So that means, however they put it all together, they had enough people who were all willing to lie. Mr. Jones says that that G was afraid to come forward and say the truth, and that Mr. Jones also was forced to cover the story up and to go with those allegations. But he also says in this lawsuit that G, who we still don't, I don't know who he is, but G is willing to come forward if subpoenaed. That, to me, is my opinion, that's going to be one of his biggest issues right now, is because if Mr. G comes forward, which I'm sure he will now, whatever fear he had with Diddy, whatever cold Diddy had, which is why everybody's thinking this is just the beginning of the lid coming off, and that the lid's about to pop off and everyone's about to come out. Because think of how many people, if these allegations are true and that all these people were afraid to come forward against Diddy, they're not afraid anymore. They're on their way. They're coming forward. So if this guy comes forward, that will be pretty much enough corroborating evidence, and they start bringing people in for under subpoenas, which is what they will do. They'll start bringing people in and questioning them, and they'll be forced to answer what took place that day and what could happen to Diddy and his son, depending on who takes the rap or who's whatever. Even if they try to allege now self-defense, it's going to be a hard one. Because the way self-defense work is that if you lie about it when it all happened, if it really was self-defense, it should have been said there. But if now you try to say, well, it was a fight and we're doing self-defense and we just lied about it and covered it all up there, nobody's going to believe you. So between Diddy and his son, if this Mr. G decides to come forward when asked these questions, Diddy or his son, one of them is going to put, they're probably going to end up charging both of them with murder. That's going to be their biggest issue. I'm attempted murder, I'm sorry, because he didn't die. Attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, battery, it's just a whole list of stuff, but if depending on who all comes forward with the rape and those other things, depending on the statute of limitations and the states you're on, that's going to be kind of the biggest trigger for me, because I'm like, oh man, that's no good at all, because that's the one where I think there's enough people around who saw it who are now kind of going to be forced to come forward. But why does it end up in, I know we only have so much time, so And this complaint's pretty big, so I definitely think we're gonna roll it over into the next week. So we'll give you guys some more teasers. Yeah. And but how does it come into this lawsuit? And let me tell you, is that Mr. Jones says that, in his opinion, that he was there, that he witnessed it, and so these facts, he says, kind of come down to his allegations that he believes that he was forced to be a part of this and watch it, and that it created PTSD, severe anxiety, depression, and insomnia. And he has pictures. He's got videos. He says he's got all of this stuff. So that is one of his allegations against Diddy, is that he's saying that you forced me to be a part of this and lie, and now I have PTSD. So let's talk about Mr. Jones. And we'll continue to go through his allegations. What triggered Mr. Jones to come forward is, and this is the part that kind of always gets me a little bit, is that he didn't come forward because he felt like what he was a part of was so wrong. He came forward because Diddy owed him money. Diddy owed him about $20,000, and he came forward. What I'm not a fan of is that when it's all good, you're down to ride, right? So he's obviously covering. He covered for him on a potential attempted murder. He alleges, Mr. Jones alleges, that he knew that these girls were being drugged. He was the one going and get them. He says he was forced to go to strip clubs to get these girls to watch all this grooming. So the reason why this lawsuit doesn't sit well with me is that I am not on board with someone who allows behavior, if this is all true, allows potential detrimental behavior to women, to potentially underage women, to men in the industry, to people being shot, killed, like these kind of potential things that are all these allegations that now he's coming forward and saying. He wasn't about bringing them forward when he knew about them. He was about bringing them forward when he didn't get paid. So that's the sad part about it, is that there needs to be some accountability, in my opinion, on someone who's a part of it, who could have potentially prevented it or stopped the behavior, and doesn't do it until they have a financial motive to potentially come forward. So doesn't mean that I'm downplaying Mr. Jones's allegations that he was, you know, he was assaulted when Cuba Gooding Jr. put his hand on his leg or put his hand in the small of his back, and then he had to tell Cuba, "No, sir, I'm a Christian man, stop doing that." And then he had to force his hand away from him, and then Cuba Gooding stopped. Am I a fan of the fact that I think that that's assault? Probably not. But I don't want anyone to be a victim of anything, but I also think there needs to be accountability of saying, people, listen, if you see something and you know something, you need to come forward because you could prevent somebody else from being a victim. So he doesn't come forward until I believe that he was obviously owed money, and now that's his motivation. I don't believe his motivation is to stop Diddy and make sure he doesn't do these things again. His motivation in a civil lawsuit is to get paid. That's exactly what it is.
The shooting that really just propelled it.
No, the shooting was in 2022. Yeah. This is 2024. Yeah. Guess what happened after 2022? He stayed working with him for an entire more year while he was making music. So what's wrong is wrong. Absolutely not. If this is all true, my heart breaks for these women that are coming forward, and I try not to, until a jury comes back and tells me one way or the other, and I don't have all of the evidence and information. If he's responsible for these things, he should absolutely be in jail. As we played that song, we had R. Kelly and him on a song together, and it's unfortunate to think that there may be a day when they're both sitting in jail. But if that's the allegations, the criminal allegations, it needs to go through that system. But the civil lawsuit that comes out for the attention and potentially the money aspect of it is something that doesn't really sit well with me at all. But we're here now. At least it's going to open the box, I think, to other people potentially coming forward for us to figure out what's truly taking place there. Is this a man who's abusing his power and position and providing drugs and alcohol to potentially underage people in an effort to potentially take advantage of them? And did he potentially take advantage of his position in a way that manipulates and intimidates people to being forced to be on his team when they don't want to be on his team because of how powerful he was and the evidence that he gathers against them? by making him feel like he's their friend, he's in their corner, all of these things, and he should be held responsible for it. I just, when I read this whole complaint by Lil Jones, I was just kind of like, I mean, come on. He literally says that he was forced. I was forced to go to the strip club to bring these girls back. To me, it devalues the word force specifically for women. And I'm not usually one that says, okay, women against men or any of those kind of things, but when someone tries to make a move on you and you tell them no, and then they stop, to go forward and say those, that's sexual assault, depending on how they've touched you. I'm just like, and then saying that I'm being forced to do all of these things while you turn back around and continue coming back to work every single day. And I couldn't imagine if we subpoena his records and figure out all the times he was partying and having fun, all the times he was texting with his friends having a good time during that whole thing. I think it devalues and calls into question the legitimacy of what he's saying when we've dealt with women who are really being trafficked, sexually assaulted, those kind of things. And the allegations to me here don't rise the level of how horrific I think it is of what he's trying to say in this lawsuit.
Encouraged is,
yes,
a big difference.
Yeah, what responsibility do we put onto an individual person at all to go, Diddy told me to go to a strip club and get girls, and now he's going, I was forced to go to a strip club and bring girls back for him, and I didn't want to do that. Well, say no. Get in your car and drive somewhere else. Like, there has to be some kind of responsibility to people going, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of that world. Because we're also empowering people by allowing them to treat us this way and do these things without standing up for ourselves and going, the answer is no. No, 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 and no. And if that's what it takes for me to become successful, then I'm not going to be successful in that way. I'll find a way to become successful that isn't forcing me to do things that I don't believe in or I'm not okay with. But we definitely want to rip apart more of these allegations and talk a little bit about what RICO means in this form or fashion. RICO is a term that really became huge during the gangster mafioso days. All of those just tantalizing things that took place in New York City. RICO, the concept of RICO, which is a Racketeer Influence and Corruption Organization Act statute. That's where RICO comes from. And what it really came from is the idea that the government was going, we know that the mafia guys are, they've got a criminal organization together, that they're doing something and they're forcing people to commit these crimes and they're doing all these little things, bribery, murder, extortion, intimidation, threats. They're doing all this stuff together. How do we hold them responsible when really their influence is what's forcing other people to do it, to create this criminal enterprise? That's where RICO really became and got their star, is from how do we hold the big guys at the top who may not be having their hands in everything because they're so powerful, but they're forcing other people to do it. So that's where the RICO statute really came from. So that is being used in regards to Puff Daddy and in regards to all of those big Universal and Motown's record labels. So based on that, stick with us. We will continue this into next week. I thank you guys for being here. See you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up another delicious episode of Legal Candy with attorney Candace Colucci. We hope you've enjoyed our legal confections and insightful discussions. Don't forget to mark your calendars because we'll be back next week at 2 p.m. with more sweet surprises and special guests. Keep those legal questions coming. Until then, take care, stay curious, and see you next week for another flavorful journey through the legal landscape.